Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan, service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lore cast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect lore cast. I'm N7 the Legend.
And I'm Genesis. Join us
as we explore along tides of light
and through shoals of dust
to see where this lore began
and consider where it may go.
Specters, welcome back to another episode of the Mass Effect Lorecast. I am your host, N7 the Legend, and joining me as always is Genesis. Genesis, how's it going?
Hey, sorry, I am recording tonight from the remote location, so not my normal at-home setup. So
you are in the bowels of the Citadel, investigating a dark alien presence. And so she can't talk a lot about her mission right now, but that's okay.
No, she'll fill us in. Hush, hush.
She'll fill us in later. And so I want to say, first of all, thank you to our patrons who are here with us, because we are doing another patron chat episode for the month of February. We're at the end of February 2025 already. Can you believe it? I can. It's been a long year so far, but we're back and we are discussing something that we just came up with 5 minutes ago, so I can't wait to see how this plays out. I want everyone, if you're listening to this in your car right now, I want you to close your eyes, crash on the side of the road. No, I want you to close your eyes, only if you're not driving, and I want you to consider this. What is the choice in Mass Effect that you never do differently? No matter what. For some people, it's going to be the genophage. You always cure the genophage. For other people, it's going to be, I always make sure that no matter what, I can save Tally. I'm never going to get that one scene on Rannoch, you know. Other people, maybe it's you're going to save the Arachni Queen. Other people, it's you always save the Council. Who knows? But for each of our patrons, I'm expecting that it's probably going to be a variety of choices. And now we are going to think of those choices, and we're going to argue against them. We're going to actively put ourselves in the opposite shoes and try and convince you, the listener, to go against our most beloved choices. We will see how this goes if we can remain in character. But with that, let's go around the horn here. I want to introduce our patrons who are here joining us. We'll start with my view. We'll go clockwise. Big Bills, how's it going? How's your week been?
I'm pretty good, man. How about you?
Mine has been good. You know, we are getting into springtime weather. I just can't wait. Magistrate Evita, how are you?
Doing all right, sir. Always a pleasure to come on the show, talk with you guys.
Well, thank you for being here. And Chris, a.k.a. Commander Shrinky Shep, how's it going?
It's great to be here. Week's been good. I've been doing a Mass Effect 2 Insanity playthrough, playing as an adept, which is hard, by the way. Be careful when you take that on.
Oh my gosh, yes it is. Mass Effect 2 as Adept is very difficult. You are so squishy, especially if you're not playing with any mods. I played an Adept playthrough for the first time like a year or so ago, and I was able to cheese the heck out of biotic recharge speed, so that made it doable. But yeah, I know how tough that is. Retrobot, how are you?
Doing good. Not up to a whole lot right now.
All right. So we are going to start with Big Bills. Big Bills, why don't you go ahead and tell us the choice that you make and then try and convince us against it.
So I make those. I have three choices that I'll, or two choices mainly that I always make, which is the Xenophage and Rex. So I'll do the Rex, keeping Rex alive.
Okay.
I'll argue that. Someone else can take Xenophage. You should always kill Rex. Rex is a horrible thing. He is a horrible alien species. That whole alien species is the reason that there are issues in the universe. And he is, they're going to be their leader. And he should be murdered and should be killed. So they cannot rise up and they can be put into camps where they belong.
Oh, wow. Holy crap. I am going to push back on that and say that genocide is wrong. but I'm also going to say
species.
I'm also
genocide when they're lesser.
Oh, wow. Okay. Why do you say that they are lesser?
Because obviously they cause problems. They're just the grunts of the galaxy. They just do work for whatever money they can get. They're just the cheap hired hands to go kill somebody. They cause problems. They murder. They should be murdered in return.
Our ancestors thought that their contributions to our history were so important that they deserved to be elevated with a statue on the Citadel. Are you telling me that our ancestors were wrong?
Yes, just how our current ancestors used Native Americans to fight the French, and then we put them in school and whited them up to make them better. It's no different than what we always do.
Okay, getting back to Mass Effect, Magister Davida, how do you feel about this avid belief that we should kill Rex?
I think that Rex is one of the upstanding people of his particular alien species. In the universe, yes, he is rough around the edges, and yes, he does gun down a man in front of us if we choose not to spare him, but he still has a lot of gumption and wisdom about him. He stood up against his own father when he was doing wrong, so I do believe that Rex has merit to be kept around and not gunned down by either Shepard or Ashley in the Mass Effect 1.
Do you believe, because I think that the route Big Bills was going here was to say that Rex, regardless of what kind of leader he is, cannot change the nature of Krogan. Do you believe that regardless of how you put it, Rex's gumption, his gumption wisdom, regardless of that, do you think that Rex's life actually matters long term for the future of the Krogan?
I think he could potentially be a seed. At the end of the day, any one individual can't really move a mountain, but they can help cause a spark. So is Rex going to be one of those people that incites revolution among his species? Is he going to be the next Leonardo da Vinci? Is he going to be someone who incites the imagination of the people of the Krogan? Who knows? But it's better to give him the chance to do so and to show his merit or to show that he will become the villain rather than cut it off and not see it ending, not see the fruition of his work, whether good or bad.
Now, Big Bills, I'm going to give you a chance to rebut that.
A snake is a snake is a snake. Just because my pet snake doesn't bite me the one time I played with him doesn't mean he's not going to bite me and kill me the next time. So I don't really see a difference.
I would ask you why you've bought a killer snake, but
I mean, I haven't, but you know, there are, I'm not dumb. I don't keep things that can kill me in my house.
Mm. Okay. So,
but
in other words, you're saying that Rex is actually just too large of a threat to let live.
Their whole species is. Yes.
So not only should we kill Rex, you're saying, but we should eliminate any threat that comes from the Krogan, because
look at the damage they cause in the universe and the amount of deaths they've caused. They did good once, and then they turned psychotic once we uplifted them.
The same
they
could be said.
A little psychotic.
The same could be said about the Turians, who decided to orbitally bombard Shanxi until
we
the
don't
humans
like the Turians
who
were.
Okay.
But we weren't talking about the Turians. We were talking about the Krogans.
Okay. I'm going to go over here to Chris now. Chris, Big Bills here is saying that Rex is simply too large of a threat to let live, as are the rest of the Krogan. And since Rex happens to be in front of our crosshairs at some point, we should kill Rex.
I mean, Big Bills is going all in, and I like him. Always save Rex, but I can play the devil's advocate. I mean, I think that there's kind of the immediate cause for killing Rex, and then there's the kind of species wide reason to try to keep them, you know, hamstrung. I think, you know, with Rex, I mean, you mentioned when you're dealing with Fist, I mean, he's insubordinate, right? He doesn't follow orders. He acts out of turn. Like, that's a real problem if you're, you know, soon to be a Spectre and you need to be discreet with things. You know, he's not following orders there. And then he pulls a gun on you. And so, you know, I've never been in the military, but, you know, I've watched enough movies and TV to know that if you pull a weapon and threaten to kill your commanding officer, that's going to end badly for you probably. And so I think defending oneself or having Ashley ice him, I think that's justified, even if it's not a wise decision. I do think it's justified in that case.
And this is a good point, because you're bringing up that not just the chance to kill Rex in Mass Effect 3 if you sabotage the Genophage Cure, but also this confrontation that happens in Mass Effect 1.
Yeah. And you know, I would take kind of a different approach when it comes to the bigger picture. So Rex, among all the male Krogan that we know, I would say he's definitively the best leader. Like, he's the guy you want in charge. We know from the last episode, Reeve is bad, bad news. However, my concern would be that Rex is maybe more of an outlier than Reeve is, based on a lot of the Krogan you see. I mean, you're killing a lot of Krogan, because a lot of them are just kind of, you know, trash mobs that you need to take care of. But even the ones who have like more substantial like speaking roles, they aren't really nuanced political leaders who would be deferential and altruistic to other species' needs. And so, and plus, you know, like Krogan society has a lot of people getting overthrown. I mean, Rex literally killed his own pops earlier. And so I think it's not a great chance that Rex is somehow going to survive this and be the leader of the Krogan for a really long time. And so there is a real risk that a more authoritarian leader like Reeve is going to take over. And I don't get any sense that the Salarians like wanted to do the Genophage, right? They didn't just go out of the way to do this for no reason. They felt like they had no choice to do it. And then, you know, likewise, when the Turians deployed it, they felt like they really had no choice to do it. Otherwise they were going to face, you know, terrible casualties. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, the U.S. and dropping the atomic bombs on Japan, right? They could have won conventionally, but the losses would have been so severe. And I think we're led to believe that without using the Genophage, the Krogans would have won. It wouldn't have been just a matter of having more casualties doing it that way. And I think based on that history, you could say that dealing with the Krogans and keeping them more suppressed is safer for the rest of the galaxy.
Now, if I'm not sure how many people can get on board these arguments that we're making. However, I think the most palatable one that anyone might be able to consider is for Rex's fate. that we cannot go into this argument with what we know after multiple playthroughs. You have to consider what you're thinking during the first playthrough in Mass Effect 1. And what you said was that killing Rex in that scene during that confrontation is perfectly justified. And whether it's you or whether it's Ashley, and I have to agree that it is justified, because this alien mercenary, who is a Krogan battlemaster, by the way, has just pulled a gun on you because you stand between him and deeply held beliefs and problems that have roiled his people for longer than humanity has basically had any kind of technology of flight. And so this is incredibly important. And Shepard is way out of their depth, and you don't have time to consider and think about all of the different ways that this could go and how to get out of this situation. Ashley eliminating the imminent threat to her commanding officer is exactly what you would want from your squad. In fact, there's an argument to make that any squad member who sat around and watched that and didn't take action, you would not want on your squad. That's another hypothetical argument that we could put forth toward killing Rex, but I'm also interested to hear what Retrobot here has to say.
I mean, I think this really comes down to just asking, what would Rex even be without Shepard interfering in Rex's life? Because, I mean, if Rex never even made contact with Shepard, Rex would still be a bounty hunter. Rex probably wouldn't have been at the Battle of the Citadel, which gave him kind of standing among the council when he was going to negotiate for the Krogan. So really, if Shepard wasn't around, Rex would still be a bounty hunter. I don't think he would have led the Krogan anywhere. I don't think the Krogan would necessarily get any negotiation power without Shepard, a human being willing and able to say that they deserve a seat at the table.
That's a good point. You know, the sheer change in Rex's life that Shepard can bring. Big Bills, I'm going to give you the final word on this, because it is your argument, your closing statement to people to try and convince them that Rex should actually be killed here.
So, a couple fast things. With his species' proclivity to violence and death, and their low intelligence and lack of emotional control, he should be killed in that spot, as should his race, and also good soldiers follow orders.
All right. I'm not going to try and address the irony of labeling a race's proclivities to violence while also advocating to kill all of them. But moving on, Magister, tell us about one of your most deeply held Mass Effect beliefs in your choices that you always pick the same. And then try and convince us against it.
So one of my most deeply held choices that I have in Mass Effect is Mass Effect 3. I apologize if I'm stealing anyone's choice, but it would be the making sure to broker peace between the Geth and the Quarians. I always work my hardest to get enough Paragon points to make sure that I'm able to have that peaceful solution occur there. Because at the end of the day, I care greatly for Tali. We've been through all this together the whole time. All the games, got to see her basically grow into her, her being the person that she is. But also at the same time, Legion, who basically showed that there's more to the Geth. Legion, who went out of his way to try to bring his people from the brink of being brainwashed by this omnipotent beings, Reapers, from taking over them. Legion, who wonders if Death's unit has a soul. I cannot try to allow these two people, these two groups, to kill themselves upon each other. Now, saying all that, I think Shepard should work to subvert both groups and make it so that they end up taking each other out as best as possible. Not only that, but if at all possible, form a coup in order to weaken the Geth afterward, but also have them be troops and drones that we can use to fight against all threats that may come against the human species.
What is there to gain in the war with the Reapers if we weaken both of these potential allies?
We don't think about the Reapers are important. They are a threat and we need to handle them. But we need to think long term. Once we get rid of the Reapers, who's going to be more of a risk after that? Is it going to be the Krogan, who we sterilize and make sure that they are not going to be too much of a problem? Is it going to be the neutered Turians? No, I don't think so. They've practically been decimated. As same thing with the Asari. As far as everyone goes, for the human equivalent of main control over the galaxy, it would be the Geth and the Quarians. Because at the end of the day, Geth can just keep reproducing. They can just keep making themselves. They are one unit. They can cause far more trouble and damage. All they need is material. And if you kill one, all that data just goes back to the greater whole. Same thing for the Quarians. Quarians are the one who made them. You put the Quarians into a corner, and by that point, they would very much be in a corner. Being so close to getting back on their home planet, if they survive, if they make sure they don't get there, you never know what they can create. You never know what weapons of mass destruction they might unleash upon the galaxy.
You're saying that there's a likelihood that the Quarians would actually seek revenge for the second class citizenship they've been relegated to for how long?
Absolutely. One thing we know, just looking at history, the more you put your foot on someone's neck for a long period of time, eventually they're going to come back and cause problems for you. If you place all the blame on them for something, and if you make them more lesser than your own people, eventually they're going to rise up and cause problems. And the Quarians have been made into urchins. They've been exiled. They have lost their ability to speak in the Citadel. They lost their voice in the council and everything else. They are in the corner. And now they're so close. They're this close to gaining their own planet back, to have the ability to breathe on a planet, to have the ability to live and not be stuck in spaceships traveling from area to area. If they lose that, we saw what happened with Rex in Mass Effect 3 when if you end up messing with him and taking not curing the genophage, imagine if that was a Quarian. They wouldn't just confront you. They'd probably blow up the whole area.
Speaking of Rex, he also tells us that Quarians are surprisingly hardy. Surprisingly hard to kill.
Absolutely. If they were backed into the corner, I think they would be probably one of the worst, especially if just a handful of them. If they go out to try to make the world burn, make the universe burn, they would burn it brightly.
And they were already capable enough to create the Geth in the first place. So exactly. If they were given any kind of political or military power, you're saying that they would seek revenge first and foremost, but secondly, not be afraid to discriminate against anyone who is non-Quarian.
Absolutely.
And
no one cared about them. Why should they care about everybody else?
One might ultimately guess that their goal would be to replace the galactic species.
Or get rid of all of them along with themselves.
All right, I want to pass it over to Chris, aka Commander Shrinky Shep, who smirked. I think he saw where I was going with that one.
Yeah, there were some interesting word choices there. Yeah, I mean, I kind of see the point about the Quarians having been oppressed for such a long period of time and that they might have a vendetta. I do wonder, though, if that their numbers are, even if like they all survive, their numbers are still so low that it might be hard for them to end up being a threat. But the fact that they created the Geth to begin with is a real problem. And I guess maybe I would go in a little different direction. While I always try to save both the Geth and the Quarians, I think taking the Geth out could be reasonably justified. Because if you think about it, the whole reason there are Reapers is because, you know, Leviathan needed to, or they recognized that there was going to be an AI problem. And then they created, you know, a solution, you know, like the Star Child, who then created the Reapers, but it was to deal with this organics versus synthetics chronic problem that seems to repeat every single cycle when organics become advanced enough. And, you know, it's pretty scary. I mean, how quickly like Edie, Legion, Geth, AI, even on our own world can develop, and like how many science fiction books, movies, shows are based on AI taking over. That, you know, taking them off the board, while it might decrease, you know, your military assets for fighting the Reapers, I think it recognizes that the Reapers exist for a reason, and trying to get rid of them and kind of live in a more kind of a la Dune sort of place where AI is forbidden and destroyed, and anyone who creates it is destroyed, is, if not the morally right thing to do, at least it's kind of strategically justifiable, because, you know, the sentient organic species are trying to learn from past mistakes. And, you know, there is a debate whether synthetics are truly life or not. I tend to think that if they're sentient and they can make moral choices and they're self-aware, they are, but a reasonable person could make, an argument the other way around, in which case they're just machines and you can destroy machines if they're a threat to organic life.
And I think, you know, when we consider this, sorry, Google tried to get me to pay for a premium plan to get this Google call to keep going, so I might have to restart it soon. But when we consider that these people, these Quarians, have been wandering the galaxy for who knows how long. And bear with me here, I'm going total terra firma. We have thousands, hundreds of thousands of these Quarians flowing in from the migrant fleet. And the migrant fleet has a tremendous problem with these diseases, these sexually transmitted diseases, even. And many of those people will probably have these diseases, and they're coming into our Citadel space, and we don't do anything about it. We just let everybody come in. It's like a death wish for the Milky Way. I think, you know, the real number is something like 15 or 16 million Quarians pouring into Citadel space, and they don't have anywhere to be. And when they do that, we get a lot of work to do. They are poisoning the blood of Citadel space, you could say. Big Bills, how do you feel about the Quarians?
I wanted to yell build the wall there for a second, sorry. So I think with the Quarians, I think we're missing a grand opportunity here. I think I get it. You're worried about them trying to get retribution. But, you know, post-World War II, Germany made some amazing cars. And post-World War II, Japan gave us anime. So you want to get rid of the Quarians when they could give us space anime. They already made the Geth. They already have the ability. Why would you take away that beautiful art? Just don't let them build weapons or do science or experiment on people.
See, now I'm thinking of Quarian anime, and all, you know, I just got to do a quick tangent because like a Mass Effect anime would be super dope. but to the same degree, I think I see where you're going with that. And I want to give Magister a chance to defend against all these points before we head over to the mid-break. Because Magister, you have had to listen to three people bloviate now. What would you say in response to defend against our counter arguments, or perhaps support thereof, your argument for weakening the Quarians as well as the Geth?
All valid points, but the size and the desperation that the Quarians have, I think, really nixes the capabilities of them making these major wonders afterward. The Quarians are a small group. They basically have no home. They have several people in their organization who have become more and more radicalized. If anything, they have all the more hallmarkings of a terrorist group in the making rather than someone who's going to be able to settle down and make more of themselves with technology or whatever else. They've been far too downtrodden. They've been far too abused. And even if you're able to talk down the Geth or take Legion out so that the Quarians are able to have a fight back, who knows how many of them are left in there. They're going to be scorned and worn down. I don't see anime. I don't see the Volkswagen. What I see is a group of people, a small group of people, who may fly a ship into the Citadel or cause any other number of issues. So, with all that being said, I still would save everyone if I could. So, yeah, there's that.
I cannot wait until we see the YouTube comments who are taking our argument seriously, and they are like, wow, these are horrendous people. Or, you know, we will invoke the almighty wrath of YouTube bots. Anyway, we're going to see all of that and more this week, I promise you. But with that, let's go over to the mid-break, shall we?
We have beef, we have bacon, we have beer, the foods of my people.
Young men have funny ideas of what Asari are like. I blame the extranet and computer games.
Rex?
Shepherd.
Grunt?
Shepherd.
Rex? Grunt?
And here we are in the middle of the show. Thank you all so much for listening thus far. I know it has been just painful to hear some of these takes. It's been painful to have myself have them go through my ear holes, and then for me to say the things I've said go through my teeth has been really excruciating at points. So thank you for sticking around. Thank you for supporting this show. I just want to issue another thank you to everybody because I looked again and more of you have put in ratings on Spotify. We still have a 4.9 star average of more than 1,000 ratings, which is absolutely nuts to me. I never anticipated anything like that when I started this show 193 episodes ago. So thank you. Thank you for that. Don't be afraid to leave a comment or something like that on Spotify or on YouTube or on Apple. If you give us a 5-star review, we will read it out in the middle of the show. And I don't believe that we have any new 5-star reviews to read this week. I didn't see any anyway. I can go ahead and check while I have my browser up here in front of me. Why don't I go ahead and check right now? But I'm pretty sure that we don't have any new 5-star reviews. And no, we do not. But if you... Oh, I'm sorry. One actually was on a different platform. See, this is the value in checking multiple sources. We do have a new 5-star review from Grant WS6. 5 stars. An absolute must for Mass Effect fans. This podcast is a fantastic listen for anyone who loves Mass Effect. The hosts have great chemistry and offer thoughtful analysis of the lore, characters, and games. Whether you're revisiting the games or just starting the saga, this podcast is the ideal companion for your journey through Mass Effect. Thank you so much, Grant. That's very kind of you to say. I listen to podcasts myself while I'm playing some video games. Right now, I'm super into Avowed. Really been enjoying that game. And it's kind of like Fable meets Elder Scrolls, if you want to call it that. Anyway, I've been listening to some podcasts while I'm going through that. I'm learning a lot about the lore of Pillars of Eternity, which I don't know if anyone's a huge fan of that series, but pretty cool. So awesome to see that people like Grant listen to this show while they're playing through Mass Effect. Also surreal for me to hear that. And thank you, not the least, to our patrons, some of whom are with us tonight. So thank you guys. I always love these end of the month patron chats where I get to like thank you face to face, almost, because we're not really in the same area. If we were, I'd buy you a beer. But thank you all so much. And you know what? I think this has been a long enough mid-break, so I'm getting tired of hearing myself talk. Let's get back to the show.
After time adrift among open stars, along tides of light and through shoals of dust, I will return to where I began.
Salarian reproduction different. Very little sex drive. If intended to try human, would try you.
Ow, my pancreas!
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the second half of the show, where I cannot wait to hear what the hot takes we have in store are. I have already been kind of I'm going to have to do some soul searching after this, because I've already been kind of like feeling like I'm betraying myself. I can't wait to hear, Chris, what you have in store. Chris, what's your number one choice? You always do the same way. And please try and convince us to not do that.
Yeah, I think my number one choice has probably already been taken, but I've got a few backup choices. And that is the decision about what to do with the council at the end of Mass Effect 1. So I always save them, but I'm going to argue in favor of letting the council die at the end of Mass Effect 1. So I think, you know, at that point, not knowing the future of what's going to happen in the series, what Shepard and his team knows is that the council has only begrudgingly ever supported the team. They've never really bought into the Reaper's idea. They supported Saren until the very last possible moment when there was indisputable evidence and they needed to do something about him. The Citadel species have prevented humanity from being as powerful or having as much of a say in galactic affairs as they should. But I think that's more of a secondary point, because I think that's sort of understandable. Humanity really had just come onto the scene. But I think from Shepard's perspective, you have leaders there who are bullheaded, who are consistently wrong, who, other than making him a specter, which really doesn't cause them any work, They don't do anything to help. And in fact, at the end, they're basically just going to have him sit on the sidelines and take away the Normandy with the help of Udina. And so when there's an opportunity to take them out or let the Reapers take them out, let Sovereign take them out, I think from a long-term perspective, trying to have a change in leadership could be justified. And I think from Shepard's perspective, he probably wouldn't want to have Udina be in charge because Udina was, taking away the Normandy from him at the end of Mass Effect 1. But I think being able to install a bona fide, good person, effective leader, Anderson, have him be in charge of a new council that would be, majority human represented or not, maybe just having new blood in the council, still having representatives from the other species. And at that point, you have no idea what the new council is going to look like. You can imagine that Anderson would maybe be able to hand pick or nominate people who he knew were not going to sweep things under the rug, and that galactic readiness would be far more advanced by the time you get to Mass Effect 3, and that those unified, war prep machinery and all the races could be unified under that banner at that point.
And, I feel like it is the duty of the Citadel Council to really look out for everybody, every race, where so far they have proven themselves to just be these radical globalists who don't care about humanity, who constantly put humans on a second-class list, almost as if we are these Koryans set to wander the galaxy endlessly. And let's not be mistaken, we are not the Koryans. We have a homeworld for a reason. And meanwhile, all of the institutions that were supposed to hold these Citadel Council's members accountable are instead slandering humanity, saying, oh, they're power hungry. Oh, they just want more. They'll never have enough. But, human heroes defeated the Turians and dethroned them as the galactic peacekeepers. We toppled them. We saved human values, and we are being punished for upholding those principles. And we have chased them down. We only stopped because the council intervened and saved the Turians. So now humans are paying the price for defeating these radical globalists, Marxists, if you will.
And I would go on to say, even with a little less rhetoric than that, if you look at even a Paragon Shepard in Mass Effect 1, his MO or her MO isn't to sacrifice other people, right? Shepard puts himself and his team in danger, but they don't sacrifice other people who really don't have a choice in the matter. And you could, again, make a good argument that the Paragon Shepard wouldn't throw hundreds or thousands of human bodies at Sovereign to try to save the council, which had continually been a roadblock before. I mean, it's really hard to try to sacrifice other people's lives to do something that you want to do if you're genuinely a good person. And then a renegade Shepard would say, to hell with the council, screw them. So I think there's less of a moral decision there. But I think both types of Shepherds would have trouble sending the humans in to take more casualties than they needed to.
Well, I think in addition to that, Renegade Shepard would also say, look what happens to good people. Do we want to be good people or do we want to be alive? I think Renegade Shepard would frame it something along those lines. Big Bills, how do you feel about saving the council, not saving the council? Should we save the council? Why?
As if you're playing a Paragon Shep was a good soldier by all accounts, and good soldiers would do what it takes to ensure society survives. As we've seen historically, good soldiers will sacrifice themselves and go into situations where they're likely to die to save others. We see it now with you know, like our Secret Service, where they'll put themselves in the line of fire to save a leader. And it's a normal occurrence. So I would say a Paragon Shep would very much go to save the Council, because the Council does represent the leadership of the galaxy. So I would say, in terms of showing your good faith as a race who wants a council seat, as a race who wants to be, hey, we are here to show ourselves that we care, that we can do the right thing, that we are not our animalistic, let's go fight the Turians and throw nukes at people randomly selves.
But what has the council done for us?
Council hasn't done anything yet, but we're also this young, uppity race who thinks we know better than everything. And, you know, sometimes you have to be patient, do the right thing to show people that, hey, you might be a young race, you might be new, but you're not weak and helpless like, I don't know, some other races out there that don't have the ability to do that. If you're showing that you're not a selfish race, that you're a caring race, that you will do what's good for the galaxy, you get the power that you want.
But we need to do what's good for us before we can help the galaxy. And the council, we cannot count on the council to think of humanity first. We have to think of humanity first before the council will.
The council has to think of everybody as a whole. Not as you can't think of just humanity. You have to think as, how do you service the galaxy and save the galaxy as a whole?
What do we get when everyone else is more equal than humans?
No, not more equal, just equal to humans. See, historically, if you actually pay attention, diversity equals economic wealth and growth. The more diverse you are, the higher your GDP is.
Maybe for the elite.
We've seen that. Look at New York. Look at California. Look at your most diverse states, your most diverse communities, and they have the highest GDP. The U.S. is one of the most diverse countries for now, and we have the highest GDP for now. So, you know, we'd look at, if you want to ignore history, that's fine. But just historically speaking, economically speaking, the more diverse you are, the more money you make. And I like money. So, you know.
Magister, how do you feel about saving the council, not saving the council? Do they deserve Shepard sticking his or her neck out when they continually ignored Shepard?
Absolutely not. No, they don't deserve that. At the end of the day, the receipts don't match. All that they've done for Shepard doesn't match causing 2,400, I believe, or to 4,000 human lives. No way in the world. At the end of the day, they're just leadership. They're secession. They die, someone else will step up, whether it be humans or whether it be other aliens. So why are we going to kill ourselves? Why are we going to kill up to like 4,000 human lives, good soldiers, good men and women who are depending on us to make the decision as a leadership of humanity at that time, against this giant robotic being that's causing all this mayhem? I believe during the choice making, it said that if we hold back, we can light him up right afterward. We hold back, let the council. I mean, sorry, but I'm sure you got someone in the background that could take your place afterward. And then we come in and destroy the Reaper. What's more important? Over several thousand human lives or a handful of aliens?
But what lesson are we teaching that council if we save them and they haven't helped us contribute to our own defense? We have struggled with the Batarians on our own borders for how long now? And the council hasn't lifted a finger. They have willfully watched as human beings died in human colonies, and they didn't mind when humans tried to defend against their own.
Absolutely. That's why I said the receipts don't match. The receipts do not match us going out of our way to spare these people, to go and rescue these people and lose the ships, the human lives, the experience. That's sunk cost fallacy to me. We should just let them go and then handle it afterward.
And maybe then they will know what humanity can bring to the galaxy. Chris, final thoughts on the council?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's not Shep extending their neck, right? Putting their neck out. It's Shep extending the necks of all the human soldiers, right? Which is a real problem. And even if you don't have humanity first attitude about things, if you're looking at it from the welfare of the other Citadel species, these are incompetent counselors who have failed in every opportunity. You know, Magister's right. The receipts do not balance the books, and there needs to be fresh leadership. And particularly if it's a problem of their own making, saving them doesn't teach them or anyone else the right lesson. It's, oh, humanity will save you even if you're really incompetent, even if you treat us really badly. We'll still ride to your rescue, and we'll take this sort of equal status. But as the future games show, it's not like Udina or Anderson, whoever's the humanities rep on the council, is really treated as an equal. I mean, they're overruled all the time. No one's riding to our rescue in Mass Effect 3 when Earth has been taken over.
All right. Well, with that, we've got a little bit of time here at the end. Looks like we may have lost Retrobot. So I will jump in with my key choice that I always do. I always save Ashley on Vermeier. And so I am going to try and argue that instead, no one should save Ashley, and we should always save Kaden. I want to open up with saying that Kaden is wrongfully labeled as being the most boring squad. Wow, look at that. Genesis joins right on cue. Oh my gosh, it's like I summoned her. Okay, so Kaden is wrongfully labeled as being boring as a squad mate. And I say that's because every other squad mate has intrinsic family and trust issues. But Kaden seems to be surprisingly well adjusted and doesn't need Shepard to be our counselor. That is what you should want in another fellow military officer on your crew. You do not want them to have dependency issues. You don't want them to make you their counselor. Okay, that's not what you want in any kind of effective military operation, let alone one aboard a top secret military vessel where a lot of people are showing some signs that they could easily be manipulated and blackmailed into giving top secret data on the Alliance to other, perhaps other human or alien races and other alien races' militaries. At that, we don't want that. In addition to that, Kaden is a biotic. Ashley has no such abilities. This is already rare among human beings, let alone Kaden's status as being one of the first biotics. Not only is he important for all scientific case studies to come later about aging biotics, but he is far more versatile when placed within an Alliance squad for the skills that he has that no one else does. Above that, he's also an officer. He has a larger amount of responsibilities than an enlisted personnel like Ashley does. When an officer, when their role is suddenly vacated, the commands stop coming down the chain. They need to be replaced immediately. When there is enlisted personnel like Ashley, never mind the fact that she's an NCO, when there's an enlisted personnel who is fallen in battle, they are easily replaced. And Kaden is just plain cool, whereas Ashley is nothing more than a space racist who cannot differentiate between aliens and animals. Caden, however, is at least an empathetic individual. That is my argument for Caden over Ashley. And since Genesis has just joined, I'm going to give you the first response to that.
First, buddy, how hard were those words to say all in a row at once?
I'm going to need a really stiff drink after this episode because that was rough.
Okay. So since I unfortunately had to miss out on this, is my rebuttal, I agree with you or I disagree with you?
Pick one. It doesn't have to be authentic. That's the fun of this episode.
Ah, okay. Well, my canon choice is that I always save Caden, except for the one time I did save Ashley. So I'm going to say that you should always save Ashley. I think that the Normandy crew definitely needs a strong female role to help balance it out a little bit. And because only in Mass Effect 2 do we actually get more human females on the ship. So I'm going to say that Ashley should definitely be saved. She is willing to always put her life on the line and be there when ever Shepard needs her in any form, in any capacity, whether it's shooting back tequila or shooting a shotgun. Ashley is always there for you.
And she can drill a man between the eyes at 100 meters.
That she can.
So
phrasing, phrasing.
I know that that was physically painful for Genesis to enunciate as well, given how much you... Oh, you know what? You know what would be even more painful, though, Genesis? If you could present an argument to all of us as to why Tally belongs with Garrus and not Shepard.
Oh, that's okay. I really am okay with Garrus and Tally getting together, but for the sake of the show, I really, really am okay with them because there are some playthroughs where I don't romance Garrus. That would be the ones where I'm playing as a bro ship. And so, of course, Tally can happen at Fair that enough. Case.
Fair enough.
And I love Garrus enough that I want him to be happy no matter what circumstances that has to be under.
That is the cheesy rom-com, no, more like just romantic movie trope of like a... I know we can't be together, but I want you to be happy.
It's a little bit true.
It is, and I always cry at those scenes. But, all right. I think that pretty much does it for tonight's episode. I've had a lot of fun, you know, arguing points that I don't agree with whatsoever. Hopefully, I haven't angered anyone to an extent where... they don't want to listen to this show anymore. Hopefully you can understand that this was all facetious. But all right, let's go around the horn. And you know, our patrons can tell us what they got going on and how can people get a hold of you. We'll start with you, Big Bills.
Yeah, that one hurt tonight. I'm going to need to go wash my mouth out. Yeah, I got nothing going on, but you can reach out to me on Discord. Just make sure you actually, like, tag me or I'm not going to see it because I don't check it that often either.
All right. Sounds good. Chris, how about you?
Yeah, I'm also reachable on Discord if you have any questions. I love talking about the indoctrination theory, as everyone knows, but other Mass Effect stuff is fun too.
All right. And Magister DeVita?
Just want to say that the water at Tuchanka is making the Krogans gay. So, anyways, Magister DeVita on Discord and on the Patreon. Nothing new at the current moment right now, but always a pleasure once again to come on to the Mass Effect Lorecast.
Genesis, You are managing quite a lot. You do quite a lot of shows. How can people find them? How can they get a hold of you?
I am Genesis with a J on all the Discords. You can also catch me on the Two Girls, One Ship podcast and the Cyberpunk Lorecast. And as soon as I listen to this episode in full, I'm pretty sure y'all are canceled.
Yeah, there's going to be, definitely. There's going to be a lot of people who don't understand that, like, they're not going to be able to parse between the things that I meant and didn't mean. So I can't wait to see that response. Anyway, that's a good lesson for everyone to not always take everything personally. I'm in 7 the Legend, obviously, do this show. You can catch me on Twitch at in 7 the Legend as well. I've been streaming my Cyberpunk playthrough. It's my first time playing post 2.0 update, so that's been pretty fun. I'm also thinking about streaming some other games. Maybe it'll be a rotating slew of different games now that I got a PC capable of doing pretty much any game that I want to stream. Go ahead and follow me on Twitch. I also have a Blue Sky account. We both do. The show does too. So please give the show a follow. We're really trying to rebuild the brand of the show. We spent a lot of time building the show's Twitter account. And now Twitter overall is just like not a really fun place to be, and it just seems like constantly negative engagement, and I don't really want to be around that, at least when we're trying to talk about Mass Effect and stuff. And that's the other thing, like Twitter, if I go on the Lorecast account, even though we only follow like other BioWare fans and BioWare creators and other video game creators, I'm like barely seeing video game stuff, and I'm seeing a bunch of BS. So anyway, help us rebuild the Mass Effect social media accounts. We also have a Instagram, which we should definitely be posting more videos to. I'm going to be working on that as well. So follow us on Blue Sky Instagram. We'll have all the links in the show notes for you. But that is all the time we have for today, Spectres. And we will be back with another topical episode. I think Genesis and I got to huddle about what that might be. So until next time, Spectres, I should go. Thanks for listening to the Mass Effect Lorecast. Reach out to us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Discord, Patreon, or email us at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Join us next week for more lore. Same space, same time. Or check out our live streams at twitch.tv/MassEffectLorecast.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.